I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The world outside your window may not be great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is having marital problems. I am one of your hosts, Jason Reed. With me is the scroll that's never dull, Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you doing?
I know a J name. Did not just call me a scroll. Okay, let's be serious. Oh my God. Or maybe I am the scroll that just like dies at the end of this episode because I'm tired of it. I'm here, but this should have been a movie. Let's just say that.
I mean, you mean the series as a
yes.
whole should have been a movie. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm tired. Okay. I'm tired. Go ahead, girl. Give us nothing.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that argument. This episode was the shortest of them all so far at 36 minutes with credits. So I mean, the way credits work right now, it's like probably 30 minutes of actual content.
Yeah.
Which was. But I will say, for as short as it was, it did give a lot, but it also, I don't know, it felt like a lot, but then it wasn't a lot at the same time, which I don't know how to explain that more eloquently, but there were some things that left me head scratching a little bit and some things that gave questions for the future. I'm really hoping that we can come in and really knock this thing out at the end and really make it worth our while. To really give us something that you know was impactful and was something that we would enjoy. Don't get me wrong, I am enjoying what we're getting. It's just not spectacular, right? Which is a lot of these Disney Plus series that for the most part, I would say.
Yeah, and I must say, I feel like I've been higher on the other one, so maybe I'm not being fair, but I feel that there are so many high caliber actors in this movie. Oh my God. In this show. Okay, Sasha, get it together. In this show. And what are we doing, Marvel? Right? Like, what is the reason for this show? That's what I think I'd like to know.
Okay.
I am not wanting to channel my inner Bob Iger. So let me make it clear that I'm still enjoying everything and I'm in it every week. And I'm excited to watch each episode as well. What's the end game? No okay. pun intended.
No pun intended. All right. All right. All right. Roberta Iger. but yeah, I mean, speaking of the Bob Iger, you know, of it all, we did get the comment from him. That's like, you know, the box he's really kind of throwing the Disney Plus series under the bus, saying that, you know, the reason that the box office has been so disappointing for the Marvel movies has been because we have these Disney Plus series going on, which honestly, I really don't agree with at all. I would say the reason for box office disappointments are because the quality has not been up to snuff in both the TV series and the movie, you know, offerings that we've gotten. I don't see where he, you know, comes off as thinking that because there are so many series, the box office is disappointing. I really don't understand that logic.
Which again makes no sense, right? Like if these folks took a second, they bought ABC, so he should know about this. But S.H.I.E.L.D. was like the biggest thing ever in between the movies. And I enjoyed it because I was like, oh, I get to like learn more. I get to stay with the characters, even if they're only in name, right? But I get to kind of be in the universe while I wait. Because y'all are taking 7 years for one movie to come out. And then the quality is not the best. And here's my personal thing is that I feel that I'm not connecting with the characters in the same way as I did in the previous phases. That's why I feel like all and the quality is obviously not the best. But I feel like I'm not connecting with them as well. I don't like for the Avengers, right? Like we knew Iron Man, we knew Captain America, so we could wait forever because those characters I think felt like we've known them forever. Like it makes sense, they're quote unquote mainstream characters versus I think these ones, give me more. Give me like something to get excited about. And like, why are we getting one-off films and then we're never hearing from them again? That I think that's what's not like getting me to connect with these people.
Yeah, it's the cohesion, right? Because in the first part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, phases 1 through 3, right? We felt a sense of connection. We felt connectivity between all the different properties. Because you wouldn't even go a couple movies without seeing our trio of Downey, Evans, Hemsworth. We were seeing something out of them to connect each movie to each other. But now we have these properties like that are number one, leaving us on semi-cliffhangers, right? If I think about Eternals, as bad a movie as Eternals is, it left us on a big kind of cliffhanger. We had some of our heroes taken away and we've like, what's going to happen to these people? But we're not going to figure out what's going to happen to them for another, if that's a big, if we get another Eternals movie in many years, right? We leave off on Spider-Man, No Way Home, right? Big new status quo for Peter Parker. We're not going to see Peter Parker for another 3-4 years. In the phases before, we felt like we were going to get answers within a year, right? Correct. Within the next movie, we would find out what this person's up to, what's happening. We're just getting left off on these things because the movies with these people are so few and far between. Shang-Chi left us on a big cliffhanger with featured Captain Marvel, Hulk talking about Shang-Chi's the rings, and they have this big part to play. That was years ago, and we still have no idea.
Where is Shang-Chi? Has he been sucked into a new snap that I didn't know about?
Right. No hide nor hair of Shang-Chi or what the meaning of the rings are.
Yes.
And by the time we get to those answers, we're going to forget about it and not care anymore. So that's where the lack of cohesion comes. Like, even in the series, Moon Knight, we left on a big cliffhanger on Moon Knight. I have not heard a single thing about another Moon Knight series or when Moon Knight's ever going to come or if he will ever appear again in the MCU. So I think it's a lack of building the universe correctly and the lack of cohesion in these things. These series could be a bridge in between. Even if you had a different like cohesion in the series where you had different people from different series popping up in different places to make a feel of connection. And I think that's the biggest thing is the connection, the cohesion. We don't feel like this is one big universe. We don't feel like the way that, you know, to borrow the phrase from when they first introduced Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which the concept was everything is connected.
Yeah. Right?
But then they took Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and made it like, psych, everything's not connected. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of its own little universe by the end of it, which was a big failing in that moment in time.
And that's why it fell off.
Yeah, exactly. So the first few seasons where it felt connected to the Marvel Universe. You had like appearances from Fury. You had appearances from Maria Hill where it made you feel connected, even though the movies were not referencing them at all. The TV shows were referencing the movies. I just don't feel like we have that level of cohesion anymore, period. We don't have a thing we're working towards. We've had Kang promise, but even like Thanos was featured within like less than a minute of runtime in movies, but we felt his presence. We felt his threat. We felt the looming threat of Thanos coming. We had Kang in Ant-Man who got like kind of beat by big ants. It's like,
but Ant-Man, like no shade to Ant-Man, but please be serious.
So am I supposed to feel that threat from him? And even so, this is not the Kang we're going to get probably. Mm-hmm. We had the Kang variant that was in Loki, but he got beat. This Ant-Man Kang got beat. what Kang are supposed to be getting in the future. I just feel like the reason for disappointments is lack of quality, number one. I can cite Eternals. I can cite Quantumania. A lot of people did not like the recent Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I didn't either, unfortunately.
So I can really kind of hit on those to say the quality is not great. So I think that's the reason for your box office disappointments. Not that, you know, not that we the series are distracting. It's not as if the series are even running really concurrently with the movies. If we had a non-stop deluge of TV series that were happening at the same time the movies were coming out, that would be one thing. That would be a cause of distraction. But it's not even that. If we get one Marvel property per month, that would be great. If we got a movie some months and we got a TV show other months, mm-hmm. I think that would work really well. It's just about the lack of cohesion, lack of fun to connect the dots.
Yes, my God, where is the fun? Like, we're so serious. That's why, funny enough, I was so into She-Hulk because mm-hmm. it felt just like fun.
Right. Yeah, it didn't feel like the stakes were so grand where we couldn't be lighthearted.
Yeah.
It would be fun to see like Coulson pop up, be like, oh my God, Coulson's in this one too. Like, it would be a running thing throughout the movies. We don't have that now. We don't have that. And that's the it's complex why the MCU is not working right now. I think we can say that. We can say the MCU as a whole is not really working right now.
Yeah. But enough of the like frustration, because I think at the end of the day, we really do love this stuff. I'm a Marvel girly through and through. And it's just, I think the comments are especially frustrating when the reasoning is a joke, rather, I should say, right? And like these, Bob Iger, you know nothing. Shut the hell up, right? And I'm so tired of your BS. Get the hell out of here and stop being a capitalistic asshole. Anyway,
yes,
please, and stop ruining my fun.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not that we're not enjoying it, it's just we know what the peak was in early MCU, and we're not hitting that. It's still fun and enjoyable, but we're just not hitting the peak, which I think is a lot of people's frustrations. Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, like, I do like most of Marvel's offerings, but please just like send the Eternals into a rock in space and never let me see that again.
Oh my God. How dare you? I want Kumail Nanjiani back in the MCU.
Kumail Nanjiani was like the one of two things about that movie that actually worked.
That's so real though.
Yeah. Everything else, get it out of here. But yeah, let's move on to what we came here today to talk about.
Oh my God.
Secret Invasion, episode 4, entitled Beloved. We start where we left off last episode, right? Mm-hmm. We saw Gaia get, you know, gunned down at the end of last episode. And I think most people that watched that episode, watched the end of it, most people that have seen TV shows, have watched TV, that are just up on things, know that was not the end of Gaia, probably. And Sasha, you last week called it. You said she probably got an Extremis in her and she's going to be fine. And lo and behold, Gaia does get up and heals herself with the Extremis powers, technology, whatever you want to call it. And she is now like she's back to her normal self. She's just fine, which, you know, I got to really call you out, Gravik. Why would you just leave the body there? Why wouldn't you take the body with you? They could, you know, that sloppy work on Gravik's part.
But I think one, she said, I'm Jon Snow now.
yes.
But I think what was interesting is that we're seeing Gravik's hubris, where mm-hmm. he's so invincible in his mind, and IRL probably is in a lot of ways, that I think he can't understand that someone else could be even an ounce of, you know, genius.
Listen, I saw a tweet concerning Secret Invasion where someone goes, my favorite episode of Secret Invasion is the one where at the end Gravik kills somebody important to Fury. I was like, oh, that's been like 3 out of 4 episodes at this point. Where that's how the episode has ended. So, I mean, Gravik is definitely scoring some wins. So, you know, even though a lot of I think he scored mostly wins here. He's had a couple missions be scuttled, but he's taken a lot of wins, especially with killing people close to Fury.
And can I say Gravik is like the big bad, is how a big bad should be set up, right? Where I'm scared of him. I'm like, God, how are we going to beat him? Because again, I think that Gaia only has the extremist powers. I don't think she did all of them.
Yeah.
Versus Gravik has all of them. Like, we got the Groot hands this time, which I was like, how dare you use Groot for bad? But either way, it's interesting. And this is how, again, I feel like a big bad is set up where he's ruthless, he's mean. Technically invincible as of episode 4, and I'm ready for the big setup, right? Like, it feels exciting to get to him and get to the fight. So I'm just saying, maybe Gravik should be the big bad.
Maybe, yeah. Like you said, we did see a flashback of Guy giving herself the power. She scanned the scientist, I guess the human scientist they took.
Yes.
Which, you know, since she has the memories of how to do this, it really makes you question, like, what's going on with the scientist, because she scanned the scientist to know how to do this. So this the human scientist come up with this already, and then,
yes, I believe that's what they're trying to tell us.
Yeah, so interesting that this human scientist would be experimenting on how to give Skrulls powers, but whatever. So Gaia does take the information, she loads up the extremist powers and gives herself the extremist power. So I mean, I would guess that yes, she probably only has extremist at this point, because who knows? She probably didn't have time to give herself everything else. Mm-hmm. So she probably just has extremis. But who knows? Maybe we'll see something different later. But yeah, she has extremis. She wakes up. She's out of there. She's gone. The next scene we get is a flashback to Paris 2012. And Fury kind of, you know, swaggers his way into a bar. Yeah. And it was really interesting to see this version of Fury, right? This is prime Fury. This is Avengers 1 Fury.
This is how we met him, right? Like, yeah. I was like, y'all, come on.
Yeah, to see, like, the big swanky trench coat he's swaggering around in. So that was very interesting and very fun to kind of revisit that type of Fury. He comes in. He meets up with Priscilla, a.k.a. Vara, in this restaurant. She talks about, hey, I see this group called the Avengers is really doing something interesting. I feel like maybe he had something to do with that. He's like, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. What's it to you? He comments on what she's reading. She's reading poems by someone named Raymond Carter.
Carver, who writes
mostly short poems. She says they're short, but they pack a punch. And she gives him the book that she's reading from. It's not really even a poem. It's really more of a conversation between two people. The first line goes, and did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so. Next line is, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth. And, you know, they kind of go back and forth with this poem. They read it to each other. She takes his hand. He looks kind of skeptical at this point. And I focused on her hand. And her hand, she is passing him another kind of USB thing. So this is also a drop in a way for spies. At first, I wasn't quite sure what we were looking at. Was this a date? Are they in? Because I mean, last time we saw Vara was in 1998 in the
timeline.
She's
reading Raymond Carver then too.
Yes, yeah,
she's so reading. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that she's been very, you know, loyal to this poet, I guess. But in this time, do we think they have gotten together, or is Fury still just her handler in this
place? Yeah, what's the math, right? Because they've been together 12 years. So we're in 2025. So
okay,
yeah, I think they get together after this.
Yeah, so this is 2013. So she's still just kind of working for him as a spy at this point. He's still kind of her handler. But I think she's still coming on kind of strong. She's still trying to get in with Fury, I think. I mean, in that conversation in 1998, she's even then trying to get in with Fury. So like, you know, hey, maybe we could do something. And Fury is kind of pushing it off. And it seems like here in 2012, she's just still doing the same thing. She's trying to get in with Fury. So that was very an interesting meeting between them to see kind of just her, where she's at, what she's feeling.
Yeah. Also, it's really interesting they use these because I'm not going to go into it, but these particular set of poems, I think, is written by someone that is going to die soon. Mm-hmm. And they end up getting married before death. So I just felt like the way they're using everything is so brilliant. And it's such a subtle touch that we don't need to even know. But when we know that extra bit of information, I think it really tells us how intricately we're dealing with what's going on and how Vara or Priscilla, right, like, is really building this mirage almost of herself to present to Nick so that, or to Fury, sorry, I'm not a squirrel, so that, you know, to Fury so that she feels connected to him and he, you know, finally, quote unquote, lowers his defense.
Yeah, so she's definitely, I think she's probably spent these you know, 14 years from 98 to 2012 really kind of chipping away at Fury's defenses to really get in there and get it with him, as she'll kind of explain a little later. We are now in the present as Vara, I'm just going to call her Vara, I don't know, as Vara is at the church where she was told to meet from this voice last episode, who so many people, including you, Sasha, informed me, nope, that's definitely Rhodey. So yeah, she comes to the church, she sits down, and wouldn't you know, Rhodey comes in, sits down right next to her. She talks to Fury, I mean, he talks to Rhodey. She says, listen, Fury was fired a couple days ago. And Rhodey at first acts like he's just totally just shocked. He's like, what? He's like, oh, no, actually, I did it. And Rhodey, you know, says, yeah, I DDT'd him from the top rope. like the Undertaker.
Which Undertaker has never done. It'll be serious.
Yeah. And but it's anyway. So interesting who, you know, this Skrull, who, you know, I think the common nomenclature for now for Rhodey is Scroty.
Yes, Rhodey. I saw that and I couldn't stop laughing.
It's so funny that this Scroty is so interested in the WWE. I think that's kind of funny. It's kind of a fun little quirk to the character. And just to talk about Scroty before we get into the whole like episode of it, Don Cheadle is eating the scenery up here. He's really taking this and running with it, being this new type of person. And throughout this whole episode, just really kind of just loves to just be an asshole and is not feeling any type of way about it.
I mean, talk about a baddie that I really can't wait to be ripped apart limb for limb, right? Like, this is it. Like, Gravik almost I'm in awe of, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe this is my internalized misogyny. Here we are, but boy, oh boy, this girl is a piece of work. So disrespectful, so pompous. Meanwhile, yeah. Gravik at least is calculated. So I'm just like, it's time for you to die. Like, someone needs to just bust you in the head.
It's villainous and loving it. And I love that about this performance.
Oh, I need these villains.
That Don Cheadle is really giving here. So Vara says, I mean, listen, if you could have the authority to fire Fury, why does Gravik need me to do what I'm supposed to be doing with Fury? Scroty says, listen, what Gravik needs and wants is none of your concern. I am the one telling you to kill Fury. I was like, damn. And we shoot over to Fury, who is overhearing this convo via, you know, a bug, wherever he's put the bug on.
The phone, Vara. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what he got a lot out of that phone. I think through that phone, he figured out the Rhodey thing. He bugged the phone to get, you know, I don't know why Vara is leaving that phone around.
But I believe she's doing it on purpose. You think she's not dumb, right? Like, this is someone that really has... Every step is measured. Every step has been thought of. And now you're telling me that all of a sudden she's going to be a rookie? Me thinks not.
But at that point, why wouldn't she just come clean to Fury and be like, hey, this is what's going on?
Well, no, she doesn't know who else has bugged her damn phone.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, Fury is overhearing this. And Rhodey is talking to Vara. He's like, listen, one of you in that little country cottage is getting killed today. I don't care which one. and Vara tries to really kind of downplay Fury. She's like, listen, this Fury is broken. This is not the same Fury we used to deal with, the formidable Fury. He's not that anymore. He's going to be dead from exhaustion pretty soon. We don't even need to kill him. And Scroty is not buying this at all. He says, listen.
Ruthless.
And this, I love, he's like, listen, you keep telling me what you're not going to do. If you keep it up, I'm going to show you what I am going to do. Like, ooh. Yikes. So yeah, that was quite a tense meeting and really kind of showed Scroty in their true kind of skin, I think, at for the first time. And it was effective.
Oh my goodness, right? It was a really good shot.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And we see, next we see like Gravik getting ready for the next mission. They're at some kind of airplane hangar.
And it's a woman, right? That, sorry, also was interesting.
Who was a woman?
Rhodey.
Well, we're not there yet. We're not there.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Oops. It was scratch it all.
Yeah. We come up to Gravik. He's preparing for the next mission. He's at the airplane hangar. Pagan comes up to him like, listen, we have a problem. Don't you notice a guy is not here anywhere? That's obviously a problem. Gravik says, listen. I already took care of Gravik. All right? I know she's the mole. I mean, sorry. I took care of Gaia. I know she's the mole, and I took care of her already. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, Gravik is one step ahead of Pagan here.
Always. Here's the thing. Like, again, maybe this is my Slytherin coming out, but I'm just like, why do people play in his face like he's a dummy?
Yeah, he already took care of the mole, according to him. Mm-hmm. And we get some indication, some hints from Gravik's talks with his underlings. He's like, listen, we have to make sure that the Russians take blame for this. And how are we going to do that? We're going to speak Russian. Like, throughout this whole next mission, we're just going to speak nothing but Russian. And that's how the Russians are going to be taking blame for this. So we got, that's just a little smidgen of what we think, what we know Gravik's going to have planned for right now. We now go over to Gaia and Talos, who are meeting in a park. Talos is telling her, listen, I never should have made you do that. Never should have made you do what you did for me. Gaia says, listen, I did this of my own free will. And the reason I'm here with you is because it's the only answer to the question of where I belong with my father. But, Dad, I need a plan for what you're going to do to find us a home once and for all. Talos says, you want a plan? I got you a plan. We're going to take down the insurgency, me, you, and Fury. We're going to take them all down. And then, right, we're going to go to the president and be like, yo, check it. We just saved you from a Skrull insurgency, and we're going to get amnesty. And then we're going to ask him, so, like, what can you do for us? And Gaia, I think rightly, honestly, really kind of balks at this. Is like, what are you talking about? She says to him, don't you want to live in your own skin? Meaning, like, don't you want to live as a Skrull somewhere and not have to hide behind human disguises, basically? Talos says, yeah, I would love that. But we don't have a planet to go to. We are dependent on our host, and we need to show them who we are, and the Earth is going to take us in once we show them that. I said, Talos, you have lived on Earth for 30-plus years. What makes you think that's going to be what's going to happen, my guy?
The scream I scrumped, right? Because I think I audibly was like, ha, where do you think you are?
Right.
Like, and America's president will do this?
Have you not been paying attention?
Have you looked around?
Right.
You are not Asgardians.
What in the history of Earth makes you think that this is going to work out for you? And I think Gaia is also on that tip. She's like, she looks at him with such like, she even tells him, like, you are delusional. Like, that is not going to happen. That is just not the way things work here. And she basically tells him that, and she just kind of up and walks away from him. I think I would have, too, because that just seems so, like she said, delusional, ignorant, just have no idea where you are, what you think is going to happen here.
Yeah, I'm tired, right? Like, I don't know where Talos's mind is right now. Or I think he is so desperate to kind of hold on to like what is morally right, because he is on the right side here. Let's be clear. So he is so desperate to be like, you know, we have not lost all of these people in vain. We've not spent years waiting around for these fools in vain, that he needs to hold on to something. But everyone, including the audience, is like, be serious. Mm-hmm. Look around. And smell, like, the roses.
Talos may be just tired, and he's really just ready to accept. 100%. He's ready to accept just the minimum of what can be offered. Like, I'll just live here in this human skin. Just don't persecute me and we'll be fine. Like, I just want the fight to be over. I just want to live. I don't even care if I live as a Skrull anymore. I just want the fight to be over, to be done. Maybe that's where his mindset is. And Ben Mendelsohn, who, you know, plays Talos, really kind of effectively shows that too. He looks kind of tired. He looks really weary in all of his scenes.
Yeah, and I love it, because in the promos he doesn't, right? So it's just, it's very much just good at acting, and it hurts, but I don't think he's wrong. conviction. It's just I need him to wake up.
Yeah, he's not wrong in his conviction. I think he's just he just doesn't understand like what what America's all about.
They left you for years. They left you for dead for so long. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think Guy is kind of right to just kind of walk away from it at this point. But you don't know what you're talking about. Because she even tells him, like, listen, because Gravik has a plan and it's working, right? It's effective. What he wants to do, he's doing it. But I think she, you know, as much, just like Talos, she doesn't want innocent blood to be shed for it. But she needs a better plan from Talos. He's not giving it. So next we get, we come to Vara coming home. She hears clattering in the kitchen, but she looks down and she sees Fury's ring is still in the little dish that Fury leaves it in when he goes on his missions or whatever. So she enters the kitchen where Fury is and she says, what's up? Why don't you have your ring on? And he says, oh, you know, I just slipped my mind. I came in through the back. So I didn't even realize it was there. I forgot to put it on, whatever, blah, blah. They sit down. And, you know, they get right to it, basically. And as they're sitting down, you can see Vara slip something out of her bag as she's sitting down.
Yeah, that was so obvious.
Yeah, it's like, okay, not great. So they get right to it as they sit down. He says, of all the reckless, dumb-headed, stupid things I've ever done in my life, this is far and away the greatest mistake. He says, I lost all reason in order to be your husband. I ignored every signal in my head, heart, and body. And even as I sit here now, knowing that you want to kill me, I wouldn't do anything differently. Woo! So many things said in that statement.
Ooh. It is beautifully painful.
Yes, 100%.
I said they didn't have to go that hard. Right, like, damn, romantic movies aren't even this deep, but they really went in on Nick Fury's side, which, am I the drama? Because I remember that you left her for 5 years, and then you, not like, that is not your fault, you did get snapped, or, you know, plot reasons, but then you went on Saber, and you just left her again. So I'm confusion to where there's so much quote unquote love and deepness when you just leave in her. Just bye.
Yeah, because, you know, they've been together 12 years, right?
Yeah.
Five of those years gone. And probably another year since he like went up to Saber. So
exactly.
You know, they've been together what? 5-6 years. And you know, it kind of takes on a new context when you think, oh, well, actually, she's been spying on me this whole time, so I shouldn't feel that bad. and then next thing you know, he pulls out his gun, she pulls out her gun that she was not hiding very well. They both set their guns on the table, and then he says, could you just tell me the story on how you chose this person to kind of as your human disguise? So she goes through the whole story. She says, Dr. Priscilla Davis had a congenital heart defect, but she didn't tell any of her friends or family. And, you know, I would go visit her near the end of her life. And, you know, I just one day I found out she only had, you know, less than a day to live. So I just asked her, can I be you? And Fury says, you know, why her? She says, because I thought it was someone that could slip your defenses. And I asked her, does she want to fall in love? And I told, you know, as her namesake, does her namesake want to fall in love? And Vara told her all about Fury, and the real Priscilla made her make three promises. Number one, she would bury her at sea when she died. She would bury the real Priscilla at sea when she died. And Vara did do that. Number two is continue to be a daughter to Priscilla's parents. And Fury does confirm, and you did do that. And number three, that she would never hurt Fury. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh no, that's terrible. You've broken your promise. So she does say, oh, I'm so sorry, darling. And then we go into the kind of, we reference the poem from earlier. Fury says,
yeah.
Well, did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, she responds, I did. And, you know, she says, and did you get what you, when, what did you want? She says, to call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth. And they both kind of finish the poem together. And right as they finish the poem, you see her pick up her gun and fire, and you hear him fire too. And then we just, in this, like, it's shot wonderfully, right? Because we don't see really what happens. We see kind of the next room over where no one's in the room, but we hear the gunshots. So we're left to wonder what happened. We come back in and they both missed. They both shoot the wall behind the other person, seemingly on purpose. And Fury says, well, I don't know if this means we should get divorced or renew our vows. They both really laugh. They're like, it's kind of a psycho thing going on here.
It's giving Mr. and Mrs. Smith for real.
Yes, 100%. He tells her, you know, well, you know what this means. That the fact you didn't kill me is they'll be coming for you. She says that she can take care of herself. And she asks him, would you have loved me if I had been my true self? He doesn't answer. But then as he's walking out, he says, well, guess we'll never know. And he leaves. He just leaves the house. Wow. So much from this scene that, you know, is really great work, really great acting work, really great character work, but leaves me with so many questions about what has really happened between what was Var's mission to begin with? Because she wanted to slip his defenses even in 1998. She wanted
exactly.
to get in with him.
Exactly.
So what was, how long has this mission been going on, and who has really been leading this mission? Because in 1998, Gravik is still a teen Skrull. I seriously doubt he had been planning this since 1998. So my real question is, like, what has been going on? I feel like this gave me so many more questions about what's really happening now.
So here's what I think, that it first probably started with, we need a Skrull close to Nick Fury, right? That's so number
is that like the, is that the Skrull Council saying
yes.
that?
Yes, yeah, that's what thing, I feel.
Yeah, but my thing is, Talos is on the Skrull Council.
Well,
at that
yeah,
point.
But like, you know, it's different. I feel when you're staying in the same house, but TBH, Talos sees Fury more than his own wife, so maybe that doesn't necessarily make sense. But still, it's really interesting that somehow, right? I feel like the council made her do it. Actually, honeypotted his ass. Like, that's crazy to be like, I knew I needed to pick like a black woman, right? Yes. That looked a certain way for you to like me. I don't know. It feels so icky to me. And I understand it. Like, I'm not even necessarily gonna dog Marvel like that, but I feel like it's icky, and it wouldn't be right of me to not call it out. Because why, right? Like, why say it like that? I think there's a better way to go about this. Or, Jason, it could just be that she started out knowing that he wouldn't go for a Skrull. So she and she just, like, fell in love with him or was interested in him. And then eventually it turned into, like, hey, you're married to Nick Fury, but they're not giving us a home. Let's make this work.
Yeah, it just makes me really keep wondering what her full story is. Why did she? And it really made me think of, like, oh, well, I guess they came here and, like, really wanted to infiltrate real people. Like, why wouldn't you just create a new person whole cloth? I'm pretty sure you have the ability, especially probably through Fury, to make new identities. Why did they feel they had to take someone else's identity, which was interesting? And it's something that I hadn't really thought about through the Skrulls. So yeah, it just makes me question what is going on with Var, and how long has Var been turned against Fury?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Was it ever real from her side? I think the gist I get is it was real to her. I don't know if it was that she infiltrated first and then fell in love with him, or she fell in love with him and then was asked to turn on him later. It really is kind of not very clear through this conversation. I hope we get a little more context into that later.
And I think either is plausible, right? And makes sense. Also, another piece, which is kind of a throwaway, but I'm confused about, and maybe we hold it until later, right? Is when they do the cutaway shot, Jason, when we don't see the gunshots, right? Go on at first. We cut to, like, Priscilla, like the Dr. Priscilla, whoever that may be, either Vara or the actual one. And there's a bunch of awards for like DNA stuff.
Yeah, and I think there was even like a she had like a cover talking about superhuman, like dissecting the superhuman, whatever. So yeah, this even as like her Skrull form, she's very well respected in her field. Because you know the person she took over was a doctor, so she just took up that field of work and has done very well for herself in that line of work as Vara. So
will that come up later, you know, because the DNA stuff, like it feels too pointed for it to just be a random thing on the side.
Yeah, so I really want to know more about Vara, and I hope we get those answers later down the line. When she asks him, like, would you have loved me as my true self? I mean, does she mean as a green skin Skrull? Yes. Like, would you have accepted me as this person, or did you need this person to be a black woman? I think if that is the meaning of what she's saying, I don't know. Or if she means like, I don't know what she really, really means.
I think because, it's probably coded with all of it.
Yeah, because we did notice in that first scene where we're introduced to her, she starts out when she's alone as a Skrull, but as Nick comes in, she turns into this black woman. And I don't know if it's her own wondering whether or not Fury would ever accept her, or if he's ever really seen, besides that scene in, where she was introduced, has she ever felt comfortable enough to be her Skrull self, or was she always scared
with him
that Nick would not accept her as that? So that's a very interesting thing to think about, to really ponder on. And you know, we are going to let y'all ponder on that as we take a quick commercial break. And we're going to be right back to talk about Skrull showers in a second.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. And as we leave Nick and Vara, we come to see a Skrull in the shower. Just, you know, and, you know, you don't really think about things like this. But do Skrulls need to take showers? Interesting answer to this question. I guess Skrulls also get body odor.
Yeah, or here's my biggest question. How do they make money? Right? Because it makes no sense. Vara, she has a real job, right? Like, mm-hmm. I understand. But I'm just so confused how all these people are getting money. Gravik, at least you're like, okay, the world leaders are probably just, you know, funneling money. And that's how he's getting all of that. But I need to know how Talos is just like throwing money left and right. No problem. Nick Fury, how do you have this like really nice car? None of it makes sense to me.
Where are you getting your funds from? Well, I mean, Fury was technically like an employee of the government, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can see that. Talos, I have no idea, because Talos, you know, years ago overtook at the time, the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. But you would assume that that hasn't been his post for a while. So, yeah, where does Talos get his money from? Who really knows? But, yes, we do see a Skrull in the shower. And, weirdly, at the time, I thought, is this Vara taking a shower? Because this person is seemingly obviously feminine.
Yes.
From what we can see in the shower, even in Skrull makeup and Skrull mm-hmm. prosthetics, we can kind of clearly see this is meant to be a feminine person. You know, you would think maybe identifying as a female Skrull, but this person gets out of the shower and shockingly they transform into Scroty. This is the Skrull impersonating Rhodey. The Skrull impersonating Rhodey may be a Skrull woman, which is like, blows your mind because it's so many questions, right? So we have in the story context from both the TV show and the comic book series, mm-hmm. there are a couple women missing, right? We have Sorin, who is supposedly dead. From
that's
what
who
been
I
told.
Thought it was for a second, mm-hmm. for a millisecond, and then I was like, no, it doesn't work. So let's move on.
But it might work. It might work. What if Sorin is the leader of this and faked her death to Talos to, you know, to come on the side of Gravik and all that stuff, right?
Wait, can I burst the bubble?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, people fast forward if you need to. Uh-oh. Real quick. It is. We know who's credited. I'll just say that for Rhodey.
Oh no, who's credited?
It's Rava. It's a new one. It's not Sorin. Oh. Yeah, unfortunately,
damn. I looked. Damn. that's. Oh damn. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, man. But okay. So yes, probably not Sorin. Okay. But also, my thoughts ran to the comic book series.
Yes.
Where, in the comic book series, the person that is over all of this is someone named Queen Varanki, mm-hmm. who is the Skrull Queen, who is coming up with this whole plan of invasion, right? That is the A1 top dog here is Queen Varanki. And now that you did tell me that it's a different Skrull name, it could be just the same thing in a different name. And I was thinking about how Rhodey was talking to, you know, to Vara mm-hmm. in that church scene, like, yeah, what Gravik wants doesn't need is not your concern. I'm telling you to kill Fury, which tells me this person that's impersonating Rhodey is pretty high up on the food chain here.
Oh, 100%, right? Like, you can't just trust a pagan to, like, mm-hmm. be Rhodey. So it had to be someone high up. Someone that isn't gonna piss off Gravik by making their own decisions, right? Because that scene at the church was really important as well. So it's just, it's giving, this is a leader.
Yes. And it makes you wonder, is Gravik this person's puppet?
A soldier that Gravik has been like mad about the whole time, right? Because we maybe are thinking, because again, we know nothing is what it seems in this show, and maybe I believed at first, maybe Gravik was talking about, right, the world leaders and those Skrulls. But in reality, they're all, you know, working under someone else. And I think Rhodey is technically the most powerful because that's War Machine, right? Like, that he can get this Skrull, she can get into that suit.
Right. So it's like, you know, is this person the real leader of these things? And Gravik is just kind of the figurehead. She's letting Gravik take all of the mm-hmm. attention and all of the, because I mean, even Vara thinks that Gravik is the leader, because she asked about Gravik and Rhodey's like, listen, Gravik doesn't matter. I'm telling you to kill Fury. So I'm thinking this person is the real person that's in charge of all of this stuff and the real leader here. But Skrody does Rhodey up, and Rhodey enters his apartment, and wouldn't you know it, Fury is sitting there waiting for Skrody. Fury, and of course, Scordy is really mad. Like, what the hell are you doing here? Fury says, listen, I don't like the way we left things the other day. And he says, you know, us brothers got to stick together. He really kind of emphasizes that word brothers, which, you know, kind of leads us to think like Fury's also mad at this person impersonating a black man talking about the struggle of black men. So, yeah, this is definitely a part of that, I think, as well.
Yeah, also interestingly enough, which I didn't bring up before, but the hymn, I guess, they're singing at the church that they meet is also a spiritual, like a black spiritual, sung by all white.
These two people impersonating black people are just
exactly. So I think like that was a little bit for us because they showed the name right of it and in my little Easter egg hunt videos they said it's a spiritual, so here we are.
So much impersonation going, so much appropriation.
Because it's white British people singing this. So, but I think that was on purpose, right? Like by the filmmakers
to wink at us a little bit,
whatever. Give us that movement and that frustration. Yep. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Back with Fury and Scrody. Fury says, "Listen, I wanted to give a peace offering. I brought this bottle of Pappy Van Winkle liquor. It's $5,000 of 24 karat liquid gold." And Sasha, you may or may not know this already through your Easter egg hunts, but the two of us have already seen Pappy Van Winkle in our coverage of the Marvel Universe. It was a blink and you miss it type of thing. It was featured a little bit in She-Hulk when Jen goes to a bar. And I was talking to one of the lawyers or whatever.
Intelligentsia. Oh my God. I'm not saying it. I already forgot how to
Intelligentsia. Say it. Yeah. Thank where she's you. Like, yeah, doing all that. This was so also was in
Jen
that scene.
Tracked? Question mark.
Oh, interesting. So it's like, you know, Marvel, they bought this 5,000, which is, you know, Pappy Van Winkle is a real liquor, a real expensive liquor.
And it actually cost that much. Yeah.
Yeah. So they bought it. It was like, we're not going to waste this. We're going to keep using this in these scenes. Fury says, I want to share this $5,000 worth of 24 karat liquid gold. And Scrody, for their part, says, should I be trusting this? Have you poisoned it? And Fury says, no poisons. Maybe you gotta worry about nanotech though. And you know, Scrody, you know, even though this was apparently a real thing that Fury just said, just goes ahead and downs a Pappy Van Winkle and really loves it. You know, Fury says, you know, listen, I just stopped by. Because, I mean, we're still on the pretext that this is Rhodey, that Fury's talking to Fury. Listen, I just stopped by to tell you, there are Skrulls very close to the president in the U.S. government. And Scrody says, oh, you're on this again. My security detail are Skrulls. You know, the president's a Skrull. He's like, no. It's someone that's close, right next to the president. As close as I am to you is as close as this Skrull is to the president. So I think at this point, Scrody realizes the jig is up and that Fury knows that they're a Skrull.
Here's my question. Okay, maybe we can wait. We can wait until the end of this scene. But I have a question, but I'll leave it. I'll leave it for the end of this.
Okay. All right. Fury says, look, Fury says, I'm not gonna say nothing to nobody. All you have to do is give my job back and I'll shut up about this.
Is going on, right? Like, this is so fake.
Ridiculous. I think
get
Fury
me
even
off
knows.
This roller coaster.
I think Fury even 100%. Knows that Scrody knows he's not serious about this.
Yeah, so I know says, that you know that I know that you know. Like, that's where we are right now.
Scrody says, listen, I got a counter offer for you. He takes out a USB, puts it in his little thing, and the video
I'm tired
starts
of
showing.
These USBs.
Yeah, a lot of USBs going around. And there's this video of Fury or someone who looks like Fury shooting Maria Hill at Unity Day. Fury says, oh, come on. I mean, obviously that's graphic. And Ray says, oh, yeah, well, good luck on proving that in a court of law. So, you know, I really kind of got
it?
You.
Yeah, I love that Scrody is like, is it though?
Yeah, I kind of got you by the short hairs here. So you really kind of have to just do what I say and, you know, basically dismisses Rhodey. I mean, dismisses Fury. So Fury, he's like, I guess you got me.
Ah, shucks.
Oh, darn. And so, you know, Fury leaves. And and next, we right after that, we see Fury and Talos in a car. And Talos is holding up this little vial of liquid. He says, oh, liquid tracker, huh? And we figure out that, you know, real smart of you to spike the liquor with this liquid tracker. I was like, all right. So yeah, Scrody, you're kind of dumb. Don't drink the stuff someone offers you. That's not a great idea.
I think that the big bads, their Achilles heel is overconfidence. And you're dumb because I bet even Nick Fury, his own drink was probably had that tracker in it too, for all we know. Because he's like, nah, I'm putting it in everything at this point.
Yeah, I would imagine he did the whole bottle probably.
Yeah. Here is now my question, okay? Mm-hmm. I get it that we have to move the plot forward. All right, so I'll let it be. But why did Nick Fury not just shoot this Scrody in the head when its back was turned to Nick?
Well, I think that's a very short-term solution, right? Because you get rid of the Skrull that is Rhodey, but you know that there's probably a lot more to this than just Skrody. And I think Fury is hoping that Skrody can lead him to other Skrulls, I think, is maybe his plot in this. I don't think that Fury realizes what's about to happen is about to happen. I think he's hoping
that's valid.
Yeah, I think he's just hoping that Skrody can lead him to a Skrull hive, a Skrull, you know, cave, like where more Skrulls are. I think he just wants to kind of recon Skrody and see how deep this really goes, you know, where Skrody's gonna go and, you know, who he's gonna meet with. I think that's the main idea here. I think if you just want to get rid of Skrody to say that you killed a Skrull, you could do that, but you would lose a lot of information. I think Fury wants to use Skrody to get more info about what the Skrulls are planning.
Reasons why I could never be a spy, it looks like, because I would never sit on
You would drag Skrody in his, you know, dead Skrull stuff, like, I got him. And like, oh, great. Well, that's one. Where are the other ones? Like, oh. Yeah,
it'd be like Talos become Skrody now, yeah. And let's move. You have a new job. Hey,
that's an idea. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's just that I gotta get my people in. I gotta kill your people. And guess what? My people can do the same things your people can. Gaia, was she just sitting around?
I'm telling you, these Skrulls are really committed to their human forms. I'll talk about it a little bit later, because they really just change the same people all the time. Like Gaia stays Gaia, Talos stays Talos. Like you could probably switch it up and be different people to fool different people. I don't know, but whatever. But yeah, so we leave that scene. We know that Fury and Talos are now tracking Skrody. Skrody now meets up with the president as the president is getting off Air Force One. And leads him over to a motorcade. And apparently the president is about to meet with the Russians. Mm-hmm. And Skrody tells, you know, really kind of is trying to, I think, rile up the president to really go at the Russians. He says, listen, it's an old Lenin quote, not John, but Vlad. Whenever you find flesh, you push. But when you find steel, you stop. So as long as you don't find steel, you just keep going. And the president, for his part, is like, Rhodey, have you been partaking perhaps in some bourbon? Because it's kind of on your breath. And, you know, Skrody's, you know, I guess a little embarrassed at this point. He tells his guy, get me a mint and get me my car. Like, open my car door. Really kind of ordering around his help, really.
Is this Skrull a teenager? That's the only way this makes sense. You just figured out alcohol or good alcohol, right? Like, it's not that cheap shit that you maybe were drinking back in the day. You're just now figuring out how to act with new power. It's giving 20-year-old.
Yeah, it's also kind of giving royalty in a way where he's like, tells his guy to open his door for him. Like, you know, all that stuff that probably the real roadie wouldn't do. But yeah, we are now in the motorcade on the way to this summit with the Russians. Rhodey is communicating to what would seem like maybe he's communicating to the rest of the motorcade, like, hey, we're on the way. And he says the president is in the fourth car in the motorcade, which, as we see, is a direct communication to Gravik and his soldiers, who are above the motorcade in a helicopter. He's got a whole battalion with him, and they hit the president's car with a missile. And Talos and Fury are obviously tracking Skrody, so they're nearby, and they see the smoke, and they obviously hear all this going on, and they gun it directly for the motorcade. So they're on the way to what's happening here. There's now a firefight going on between Gravik and his men, who are making sure to to yell and speak in Russian to be like, this is definitely Russia, guys. This isn't a scroll insurgency. This is definitely Russia because we're speaking Russian. So grabbing these people in the Secret Service, they're all firing back and forth. And meanwhile, Scrody is just in their car, just chilling, just watching on really calmly as the carnage is unfolding around them.
This is the boss mode, right? Where 100%. I felt that this was where this person's super in charge, and it's not like they're just because again, wouldn't Gravik be like, excuse me, what are you doing? You can't just sit around.
And you would think, like, if you are on the side of the president and the Secret Service,
yes,
I'd be looking at Rhodey like, yo, War Machine, not baby, like, what are you doing sitting here?
Where's the War Machine? Are you that drunk?
Yeah, get the guy out, get the machinery out. What are you doing? But no, he's just watching on calmly. I do kind of. It would be really interesting to see War Machine in this series as, you know, turning on the president and his people. That would have been fun. But I guess we don't have the budget to bring War Machine.
Absolutely no budget, because Bob Iger said too much.
Yes, you're taking way too much money from the movies. Fury and Talos do arrive. Fury says, "Listen, we gotta get Ritson out of here," aka the president. And Fury and Talos load up. They get a bunch of guns. They take out some of Gravik's men. They take out one of his helicopters. Pagan sees Gravik. Sees Fury and Talos and announces to Gravik, Fury's here. We got problems. So Gravik, you know, taking matters to his own hands a little bit, goes out into the battlefield and attacks one of the soldiers with his Groot powers. He gathers one guy up in his Groot tree arms and crushes the guy. It's like, oh, okay. Well, so we got all the powers going here. We got everything running through Gravik at this point.
Yes. And I'm tired, right? Because I feel like Russians literally don't want you to know it was them.
You're right. They would be a little more covert, like, instead of screaming and yelling in Russian.
Yeah. Like, that's where, again, I feel like I know that it's a show thing. So, like, let me let it be, like, just like the submarine. Mm-hmm. But it's giving hilarious because literally, how many times have the KGB, like, just poisoned people?
Right.
Every time.
They're not so overt as to, you know, do all this. Hey, we're the Russians. Make sure the Russians get the blame for this.
Literally, it's so on the nose. But, you know, yeah. I think when it comes to, like, military defense, like, your first instinct is what your people are going to go with, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not here. I just find it really funny because in reality, Russians, when they invade places, they don't even have the Russian flags on their uniforms.
Right.
It's just, like, tiny because I remember reading an article, right, the tiny green soldiers. Like, who are they? Who are they? It's effing Russians. So all I'm saying is, like, a little on the nose, because the Russians are not going to let you know it's them.
Yeah, it just seems so rudimentary to be like, we're going to speak in Russian so that they think it's the Russians. Like, that'll get them. So
God.
It's just kind of funny. It's funny and fun logic. But yeah, Fury. So the president is in his car, has overturned. I love how they keep calling the president. His code name is Citadel. It really gives me trauma flashbacks to covering the show Citadel, to be honest, that I covered with Marissa Garza not too long ago.
I thought of you. Don't worry. Yeah.
Kept hearing Citadel. I was like, oh, no, not Citadel. But yeah, the president is now overturned in his car. He's taking some shrapnel. He's not in great shape. He's overturned. And Fury and Talos get to the president in his car, and Talos is like, I got this, and is trying to break the window. It really makes me question the level of strength the Skrulls have. So I would guess that it is higher than a human strength, but not, I don't know, not super strength, because it takes Talos a while to break through this, bulletproof glass.
I mean, it's just under super strength, because that's the beast, right? They keep calling it the stagecoach, but that's the beast, which is the president's vehicle. And first of all, the world's smallest motorcade ever that I've ever seen for a U.S. president, but sure. And secondly, that is supposed to withstand, allegedly, right, a rocket launcher.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not Hulk strength, because I think Hulk could probably just get through that, like, pretty easily. But it's definitely,
if it takes Hulk two tries, then it's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely above human strength, because Talos is making a dent every time he hits, but it's not easy for Talos to get through this. Mm-hmm. And it makes it that much you know, less easy when Talos takes a bullet from Pagon. So he's taking a bullet from Pagon. He's still trying to get through this car window to get to the president. And, you know, as he's doing this, he's slowly turning back into a Skrull, which I think is an interesting new wrinkle in the Skrull mythology. Whereas if you're gravely injured, you might start turning back into a Skrull. It's not an instantaneous thing, but as you're maybe dying, I don't know, you're turning back into a Skrull, which was an interesting thing to see. I think a lot of the effects budget went into Talos turning back into a Skrull.
1,000%. They said, this is a lot of makeup we need to do.
Yes.
So I guess we got to make it happen somehow.
Yeah. So, you know, Talos finally gets the window broken, but he's in really bad shape. He is at this point fully turned back into a Skrull. Fury gets Ritson out of the car and tells, you know, Talos, listen, I'll be back for you. And in between this, we actually see one of the soldiers seeing Talos turning back into a Skrull and freaks out. He's like, oh my God, it's an alien.
Trying to kill the president.
Yeah. But Fury says, listen, no, he's with me. He's fine. Do not harm this alien or whatever. They get Ritson out of the car. Fury says, listen, I'm going to come back for you. I just got to take care of the president real quick. Fury gets the president into Fury's car. And Fury turns around. He sees one of the soldiers. I think the same soldier that screamed, oh my God, it's an alien. But now seemingly has come to help Talos over to the car. But I think Fury takes a look at this, and I think he knows better. He's like, all right, listen, put
humans
him down.
Humans are not that nice.
Yeah, put him down. Put my guy down. And the soldier is not putting Talos down. And he's got a menacing look on his face as he's just kind of staring back at Fury. So Fury is like, okay, we got a problem. So Fury then, like, just shoots this soldier, right? Because he understands at this point that this soldier is probably not a soldier. So once Fury shoots the soldier turns into Gravik. It's like, oh shit, this is Gravik. Oh damn.
We knew it was a wrap then.
Yeah, Gravik then turns and stabs Talos in the chest, which seems to be a real killing blow. At this point, Fury keeps shooting Gravik. He shoots Gravik right in the face, and we see the bullet, you know, tear apart Gravik's part of his face. But Gravik, you know, automatically from the extremis heals himself, heals his face, which is just totally shocks Nick, because Nick at this point has no idea about the extremis, has no idea about what a super Skrull is. So Nick is obviously shocked. So Nick is like, at this point, he's like, oh crap, I gotta go. Nick gets in the car, takes off with the president, as Talos is just lying there, deceased.
Oh, I think this is when I was like, I think I'm done with the show. And then I was like, oh, not really, because I have to podcast about it. But I can't, right? I'm tired of it. First of all, I will say it was really beautiful to see Nick Fury still be in command of everything, right? Like, as soon as they saw him pull up, they were like, great, he's now in charge and we just have to follow his lead. Amazing. I loved the little formation right around the president as they were trying to get him out. So it seems like even though he was fired, something's up, right? Like he's still somehow part of the ranks.
I noticed that too. And I was like, would ordinary soldiers know who Nick Fury is enough to know that he should be in command now and they should just do whatever he says? I mean, Nick was the top of the secret, super secret spy organization. So are ordinary soldiers going to know who Nick Fury is? I don't know, but I'm going to ignore it because it's a fun show. So I'm not going to delve too deep into that. I did think that was interesting. And in our world, Fury has been fired. So would no one question that? I don't know. Whatever. And it was interesting that Scrody didn't pop up, be like, no, Nick Fury is fired. He is not a part of this. He is the enemy. Do not trust him. Do not do anything he says. I thought it was interesting that Scrody at no point showed up to do anything in this. That was interesting. But, you know, I love that we got the action, right? The action was fun. The action was very kinetic.
Needed.
Like I said, this was a shorter episode, but we had a lot packed in here. I think I'm probably higher on this than you are. I'm still, for the most part, enjoying this. And for the most part, am interested to see where this goes. I think this episode is going to change a lot. I think we're going to finally, activate Emilia Clarke as Gaia. I think she's finally going to get more than 10 words to say in an episode. Because I think we have seen in like the promos for this show that there was a scene where Gaia is you know over someone that's probably dying, and we probably in the beginning thought, oh yeah, it's probably Talos. Like I did feel Talos is probably not long for this world at the beginning of the series. So that has I think come to fruition. I think Talos is really probably dead. I don't think this is a fake out. I think
he's real.
Talos is done, gone, dusted.
Yeah.
So I think we're gonna get Gaia realizing that you know. Gravik has now apparently killed both my mother and father. It's time to get some payback. Time to kill Gravik. To overthrow this insurgency, to team up with Fury. I think now Gaia is really all that Fury has right now, you know.
And that's what I'm saying. And this is where your theory of what were they called? The Secret Warriors?
Yeah, Secret Warriors, yeah.
Like, are they coming? Because no.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
This is bad. Like, listen, Gaia cannot equal Gravik currently, from what we know.
Yeah.
So, is episode 5 going to be like a training montage?
Right. Like, listen, I would love for the Secret Warriors to really be a part of this. I just don't see the space we have to introduce them and bring them
in. You're right. It's just I'm irritated because
yeah, and the question is how are we going to beat Gravik? Because Nick is a regular human and Gaia seemingly only has extremist powers. We could be, you know, tricked and fooled, and maybe she has all of them.
Comes back.
True.
And Fury is a good Skrull. That's
yeah.
I'm telling you, that's the only way this makes sense to me. Because like. I think we need some good Skrulls on our side to get something going.
You would think we need something else, right? Because Gravik still has a whole army at his disposal.
And we don't know who is who. Like, it could be the president tomorrow for all we know.
Yeah. And we only have Fury and Gaia right now. So I'm really interested to see how they wrap this up. I hope they don't disappoint as they wrap up. Mm-hmm. It also makes me look at, of course, it makes you look at Rhodey in a new light. And again, it makes us wonder, when was Rhodey taken over?
Seriously.
Does the real Rhodey know that Tony's gone? It makes me that much more curious for Armor Wars coming up, which is a Rhodey-focused movie. It makes you wonder, like, if that is going to be a lot, that's going to be, like, what Rhodey missed when he was a Skrull. And it makes you think, like, would the real Rhodey have totally kind of, I don't know, abandoned the Stark of it all? Would Rhodey not have tried to take over his friend's legacy? Would Rhodey have really gone into government as big as he has? So maybe this movie will be about Rhodey taking back all the stuff his friend lost. We still, we don't really have an idea of where the Stark company legacy is right now. We would assume that Pepper has it, but we haven't seen really hide nor hair of Pepper or anything Stark related, really. So I'm curious about what,
and even via Spider-Man, we haven't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like usually, at least maybe through Spider-Man, they could have given us some crumbs, but they said
We got an inkling from Far From Home, but I'm really
sure, interested but to not see how.
Yeah, to see how Rhodey takes up the mantle of his friend, which I think might be a focus of Armor Wars, which I'm really curious to see what that's about. Also, just side note, I have to get whatever agent Colby Smulders has, because, you know, she's only in like footage in these episodes, but she gets that billing after every episode. Special guest star Colby Smulders, just like she's still getting that money for that guest starring role in every episode.
We know it's not a lot of residuals, but she's getting her cents, baby.
Right. So it's like, damn, she's only in this archival footage. She's still getting that guest star billing every episode.
And it's the opening too, right? Like it says like guest star. So I again was like, oh, we might get another flashback. You know, I'm excited. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
it was like surveillance footage.
It's just so funny because it's the first thing you see after the last scene of every episode. It's like, oh, that's funny, because like this episode was just like that same footage we see of Gravik as Fury shooting her. I just thought that was a little funny.
It's so good.
Yeah, Sasha, do you have anything else about Secret Invasion this episode? What you're hoping for? What you want to see coming up?
No, not too much, right? We had a short episode, which again, I will say didn't feel as short. When you said 30 minutes, I couldn't believe it. usually I look at the time, but I was like, oh, I feel enough, you know, like I appreciate where this is moving. I think Marvel or Disney Plus, whatever, has a thing with episode fours. Like, that seems to be the, like, where all hell breaks loose, because Loki met the Variants, episode four, I believe, and in Moon Knight, this was the hospital scene.
We keep moving that goalpost around. Usually it's the penultimate episode. Now it's the anti-penultimate episode where big things happen.
Yeah, but, and WandaVision, episode five was crazier, but still, it's interesting that it seems like episode four is like now a goalpost, or like the where everything's gonna go to hell before our heroes get it together. So all I'm saying is, who are you gonna call, Nick Fury? Because Carol, she waiting. Carol's, I think we're waiting.
Carol's chill. I have no idea where Carol is. Carol is chilling.
Carol's in the ether at this point. Yeah, Carol got snapped by Thanos 2.0. Because I don't understand. Okay,
you would think he would. That would be the first call, right? But he's like, not even sweating it. Not calling any of his super friends.
Nothing. So at this point, and someone on Twitter posted the picture of when. I shouldn't laugh, but it is silly. Where Gravik is stabbing Talos. And interesting, you know, Talos stabbed Gravik. Now Gravik's returning the favor. Anyway, so it's really interesting because it's just a screenshot of his face with the really big eyes. And it says, are you going to call Carol now?
Yeah. Maybe it's about time you called Carol.
Buddy. Yeah, or his face now that he has to call Carol, I think, or something funny like that. So it's just, my point is, I feel like this, I just feel it, that this is the one that's connecting to all the other movie or all the everything else coming up. So we got to make some moves. I think that's why I'm feeling frustrated. If somehow, somewhere, someone told me that this would be its own thing, I think I would not complain at all, because I'm enjoying it. It's just, I need to know if this is connecting to everything so that I can be more excited. I'll say that.
I think we talked a lot about the cohesion connection early in the episode. I think if this was the plan, the Skrulls were the ultimate plan for the MCU, this would be a good way to introduce them.
Correct.
Really, and if Scrody is the real leader, this would be a great precursor to their real, like, introduction into the main villain of Marvel. But I just don't see it. I really think the Skrull probably one and done here. If not, I think Gaia will come out of this as a character in the MCU. I think Gaia will probably be what Maria Hill was to Fury, will be his right hand person, and I think that will lead possibly to more appearances in the MCU. But I just don't know what this will mean for Skrulls in the future. But hopefully it means something. Maybe we'll see them in another 7 years, because it seems like there's so much happening now in the MCU that we don't get follow ups very easily. Which, you know, as we talked about, is really a downside of the MCU at this moment in time. They're focusing on so much, there's not time to follow up on things that are left out there in the universe that still need to be answered. But yeah, that's Secret Invasion episode.
Yep. Here we are. I'm excited. Two more to go, Jason.
Two more.
No one knows what will happen.
No one, except for Bob Iger, who apparently hates all Disney Plus series.
And I took that personally.
Yeah. Sasha, do you want to fill everybody in on where they can find you and what you're up to right now?
Yes, as always, I'm over on Rob Has a Podcast covering Mess Magnet, a pop culture, celebrity gossip, everything ridiculous, vibes only podcast with Kirsten McKenis. I'm also covering a Big Deck. Oh, no, Below Deck. The podcast is Big Deck Energy. Oh, my God. On the Bravo TV Wrap Up feed. You definitely want to check us out next week. You know, maybe new announcements coming. Who knows? Ooh. And in addition, check out Silent Podcast for Never Have I Ever coverage. And for everything else, just follow me on Twitter at funsize_04. What about you, Jason?
Right now, I'm on a hiatus from the A Perfect Match podcast because Married at First Sight is in between seasons. But you can find me here on Poetry Recast talking about the show Hijack with Marissa Garza. It's actually a really interesting show that no one's really watching. So if you need something new to watch, go check out that show and check out my coverage with Marissa here on Post Show Recaps. Recently, I was on the Movie Ladder podcast talking Inception. I was on the 90 Day Fiance podcast with Puya. Last week, 2 weeks ago, you were just on there, mm-hmm. I think, this past week. So yes. check Sasha and I out on if you're into 90 Day. Check us out last 2 weeks on the 90 Day Fiance podcast. Yes. Other than that, you can find anything else I'm doing over on Twitter at JAYR1085. We'll see y'all next week for Secret Invasion Episode 5, the penultimate episode. Until then, always ask yourself, who?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.